This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Last night, the Georgia Dome hosted a very exciting NCAA Division I men's basketball final as Louisville outlasted Michigan. The Dome itself won't last much longer, however. Last week, Invest Atlanta, the city's economic development agency, gave what is expected to be the final approval to a new stadium, complete with retractable roof, for the Atlanta Falcons. So what will that mean for the average ticket-buying fan? J.C. Bradbury is chair of the Department of Exercise Science and Sport Management at Kennesaw State University, where he's also a professor. Professor Bradbury, welcome back. Good to have you.
Hi, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
This is actually part of a drive, really, that the entire NFL is doing, isn't it, for new stadiums, for stadiums with a lot more, let's say, luxury or upscale facilities for fans. Is that correct?
And that's right. That's the general trend in the professional sports marketplace and even the college sports marketplace, is that owners of teams have decided, and they've realized, that there's a lot of money to be made by targeting affluent consumers who really like sports, and to offer them amenities at professional football games and basketball games and baseball games, so that they're really trying to target this class of fans. And it's not necessarily to the expense of the poorer fans, but they really want to serve these fans, which require nicer venues, smaller venues that cater to their tastes.
But if you have a stadium that has fewer seats and fewer seats that aren't really expensive, doesn't that, by definition, exclude more of the average fan who can pay a little bit to get in?
Well, absolutely, but it's the way sort of the fans are watching games today. You know, I often like to say to my students when we're talking about this is that today, rich fans go to the game, poor fans watch it on TV, and now maybe we could say they watch it on their iPhones or on the Internet. The real focus on driving sports is through different types of media and broadcasting sports over the Internet, less so radio is still there, but in Internet means. And if you're getting people coming to the game, is that you want to target that luxury experience for those people. And so these are the people who want to come to the game, and that's what owners are trying to provide for.
But is it a chicken or the egg kind of thing? Because if the average fan has to pay too much, he or she is not going to want to come to the game. So doesn't that fuel the perception that, oh, okay, only fans who can afford something a little bit more luxurious want to come to the game, when in fact that might not be true?
Well, I think part of it is there's certainly the case where fans who have less disposable income are going to decide, I'm not going to go to games. But they also may decide, I'm going to go to less games rather than going to every night. And when I go, I want it to be a nice affair. And really, sports teams are just responding to the marketplace. And what the marketplace is telling them is that really fans like to be able to watch the game in their home, on television. They can check their email, go to the bathroom, the snacks are cheap. But at the same time, when people come to the game, they really want to do things up. So they want to be able to serve this high-quality environment. And the problem is that there's some fixed cost to operating these stadiums. And if you're serving a lot of the low-dollar consumers, and this is going to squeeze out high-dollar consumers who don't necessarily want to be there as much. And so if you look around and look at how stadiums are adjusting, a perfect example is Turner Field, where the Atlanta Braves play. It's a relatively new stadium. But they decided we need a place to serve luxury fans who want to be close up to the action, not just in luxury boxes. So they added the SunTrust section of seats, which allows them access to amenities to where they're actually separate from parts of the crowd. So they're trying to find ways to get these in here. And yes, there's a trade-off in that there's less room for less luxurious items for fans, but that's the trade-off that they're making, and they're finding that fans want.
But is there a point of diminishing returns here? I'm going to talk about Yankee Stadium for a moment. That has fabulously expensive seats, many of them going empty. Now, part of that may be the Yankees have had a bit of a struggle lately, but the fans were saying, hey, look, we're not going to pay a whole lot for outrageous beer prices and seats that really aren't worth the price.
Well, that's always a danger. If you don't put a high-quality product on the field or on the court, no matter how nice you make the experience, you're going to have trouble getting fans to come. And I think that is certainly a danger. But it is much easier to take a high-quality seat and lower the price on it than it is to take a regular stadium seat and say, oh, no, you see, this is a luxury seat. You want to sit here? So there's always the ability to adjust the price for these, and what we're seeing within all sports is what we call dynamic pricing, and that is different prices for different seats, different events. And so it's possible for the Atlanta Falcons to put tickets online to say these are $1,000 seats. But realize that if people aren't going to pay $1,000 for that, they can then resell them through the resale market. They get sold at a lower price, so they still can get revenue. So you want to be able to serve your luxury consumer and then go down from there. And so it's much easier to adjust going from luxury seats to lower price seats.
But is there a correlation, and I'm not sure there is, between the average fan and passion? In other words, if the person who's there, let's say to entertain clients and so forth, isn't able to see a good product on the field, he or she might not show up. Atlanta's been accused of being a fair-weather fan town as it is. If you're not able to accommodate the person who can't pay as much but maybe might care more, are you in the long term putting yourself at risk?
I don't think there's any doubt that these teams do not want to alienate fans, even low-dollar fans, because income fluctuates. And a lot of people build their fandom as kids, and you don't have a lot of money when you're a kid. You may not come from a background, you get an opportunity to go to the games. You always want to create an opportunity to where fans can get in to even some of those nicer seats or to even get into the game. That's why most teams, even that could sell out with season tickets, always sold single game tickets. Why they have lotteries for fans. They give away lots of tickets. Teams always want to create the opportunity for fans to come to the game and see that experience, because then those are going to be tomorrow's TV watchers, the people whose sponsors are going to pay advertising for, and they're going to generate revenues for the team. So it certainly is true that, hey, the average fan seems to be being priced out of the market, but teams are finding other ways to get to those fans, and they feel that giving the luxury experience is that they're giving enough of it that they're not giving up these fans, because all of these sports, you look at all the major sports in North America, the major sports leagues, and what do we see? Growing revenues year after year after year. And particularly, we've been in the midst of a, whatever you want to call it, a recession, or certainly has been an economic boom time. Sports have done just fine. In fact, better than most segments of the economy. So they seem to be feeling that they can serve this market fairly well by targeting the luxury fans.
But are most of those fans adults, and are we seeing alternatives show up for the kids? Other sports, Major League Soccer, for instance, which is doing very well in cities like Seattle and Portland, are charging a lot less and getting a lot of young fans.
Well, I think there's no doubt that whenever you raise the price for the product you're selling, you risk sending your consumers to a competitor. And it's really a fine line between, do we want to keep it low and lose revenue when we could be charging a higher price? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that there will be some teams that will take it too far, because there always are. They're going to price it too high, and fans are going to leave, and you cite some markets where they're going to go to soccer. I think that's why their market strategy is so much more diversified than just earning money on ticket seats. Ticket sales at stadiums, and that is, look at where the money is right now in baseball. You're looking at teams signing long-term 20, 30-year television contracts for billions of dollars. And if you're diversified in television, you can adjustify your stadium pricing, and it's something that league teams have learned to work together to develop information strategies to find what works in other markets, so that there's a lot of experimentation and they can share their discoveries so that they are pricing their product appropriately.
So the bottom line you're saying is that certainly they may be charging a lot through these new stadia, but they also have a chance to fix things and be really flexible and respond quickly if market conditions change?
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do. Whether they can and succeed in doing that is another question. But I think that it's not that teams are just moving so fast into this to where they're going to be stuck out there. They understand that there are risks, and they feel that they are pricing these products appropriately. And there really has been a lot of work done within the leagues in the past decade is as to how to appropriately price their seats. Just a few years ago, you could buy a ticket at a Braves game to see the worst team in baseball and the best team in baseball, and those tickets would be equivalent in price on opening day. that doesn't happen anymore. We understand now that, hey, when the Yankees are coming in town, that's a special thing. Those tickets cost a little bit more, and when a bad team comes to town, those tickets cost a little bit less. And they've been slow to adapt to it, but they're now understanding they can make so much more revenue by changing the prices they charge at different events or different times of the year, and of course, different quality of seat.
And you've addressed this a little bit, but we've heard this a lot, that, okay, maybe mom or dad might still go to the game, perhaps with a client or whatever, but mom or dad are not going to be able to take the kids as often because especially if you have more than one, that runs up into big money in a big hurry.
Well, and that's absolutely true, but I mean, kids who are sports fans are also demanding a lot of these products as well. And look at the advertising strategy of a lot of products these days. It's targeted at getting parents to spend on their kids, places like Disney World. these are luxury events that kids consume as well, and if you go to any of these stadiums, you will see that they are targeting bringing your kids to the field. I mean, I think that there is a danger when you make it a nicer event that parents say, well, you know, it's worthwhile to get a babysitter, and we're going to go out and enjoy this event. But again, the kids are the ones who are there watching it on television as well. And, you know, this is a trend that we've even seen extend into the minor leagues, that minor leagues were typically known for their cheaper events are now trying to offer more luxury-type items. I mean, kids like luxuries as well. You don't just want to go to the game and be bored and eat popcorn and peanuts and drink Coke. You know, you want to go and see your favorite cartoon character. You want to see not just a mascot shake your hand. You want to see a mascot ride a four-wheeler and do flips. A lot of this is all about entertaining kids as well, so it's not just targeted as adults.
So in the end, are fans partly to blame for the very things that they're complaining about because they want a quality product, they want the team to spend a bunch of money to get the superstars on the roster, and yet then they complain about the ticket prices when the owners say, okay, we're going to do these luxury things for people who are demanding this of us?
Well, maybe I wouldn't use the word blame, but I think you could easily use the word responsible, that fans are certainly responsible. And in fact, that's one of the things that I've specifically looked at is, you know, people talking about fans being priced out of the market. One of the things that we saw is that as ticket prices rose, more fans kept going to the game. If it was the opposite effect, that is, fans were being priced out of the market, as ticket prices rose, we should have seen fans go away from the game. Really what's happening is that we've seen a shift in demand. Fans want more of a sport. They want to see high quality of the sport. They want a high quality experience when they go see a sport. So, right, if you want to say who's to blame for rising ticket prices, I think there's hands down, no doubt, it is the fans who are responsible for that.
So bringing it back to the Falcons in the new stadium, do you expect that we'll see an older, more affluent crowd just by definition going into that stadium than you did at the Georgia Dome where I was last night and saw a whole bunch of folks enjoying a game?
I would hesitate to predict the exact demographic effect it is going to have, but there's no doubt that this is going to be designed to target your more affluent spenders and give more opportunities, not just to target them, but to provide a higher quality experience. And no doubt that demographic is going to include some older, wealthier fans who are going to be watching these games. So it may change the atmosphere somewhat, but that's where they feel that fans want and provide for those fans. But also on the flip side of this, you don't ever want to alienate those other fans. You're going to see more opportunities for better television coverage, more interactive internet coverage. Fans are still consuming the sport. They're just consuming it differently than they used to.
But will there always be exceptions like Wrigley Field, Fenway Park in baseball, Lambeau Field in Green Bay in football, the places that are considered the shrines to the way things used to be?
Well, you know, it's interesting that we have these places, these shrines of the past that we think of are wonderful. But if you can replace the house that Roos built, nothing is safe. And if you go to those stadiums, and, you know, we often think of Wrigley and Fenway from afar, but if you actually go and visit those stadiums, it's not a real wonderful event compared to what you're getting at a more modern stadiums. And fans, especially those who live in those cities, are going to say, it's not worth it for me to go down there and have to wait in long lines for bathrooms, not to have the best concessions I want. There are a lot of things I can do. I think it's very unlikely to see something like Wrigley or Fenway or even Lambeau continue as they are within the next 10, 20 years. I think you're even going to see those stadiums replaced because that's what fans want.
J.C. Bradbury is chair of the Department of Exercise Science and Sport Management at Kennesaw State University. He's also a professor there. Professor Bradbury, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much, and we'll see you at the next game.
Thank you, Dennis. Look forward to it.